This is Tyler from The Casual Sound. If you like The Casual Sound and you're willing to help us out, please subscribe to the podcast and leave us a review. It's the single most impactful step you can take to help us reach new audiences, and we'd be extremely grateful. Enjoy the show.
Strolled along down the narrowing road. while the boys take the chess and the tar. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Casual Sound. I'm your host, Tyler Jacobson, in studio with Jake Ryan.
All right, Tyler. All right, Lenny.
Amen.
All right, that was Black Carpet Magic by Lily's, one of my favorite bands. Before that, we heard Frank and Walters, and Jake Ryan, you've never really been exposed to the Franks.
Nope, noob. Completely new.
Okay, that was actually a Lenny pick, but I'm also a pretty big Frank and Walters fan. They're one of those bands, though. I'm going to put them in the same category, and this might not make sense at first, as Papa Leeds itself and Ned's Atomic Dustbin, in the sense that when you see them, when you see how they're dressed, it might be a little bit hard to proclaim that you're a fan.
Three-quarter shorts, flannels?
Well, in this case, they kind of...
Franks were wearing like orange boiler suits and kind of putting bowl haircuts and all that.
So yeah.
Very early 90s.
Yeah, okay. It looked pretty silly.
Okay.
I hope that they're not still doing this, but I imagine that they might be somewhere doing some third-tier festival, still dressed like that.
I hope so. Great night out, wasn't it?
I guess that's a possibility. Now we know what Lenny's looking for in a night out. That's great.
Oh, but aren't we all?
So, Cherry Red Records are coming out with C88. A few years ago, they did a reissue of C86, which you know is an extremely influential album on my life, and they expanded it with the original curator from a single CD into a 3-CD set. And then, I believe it was last year, maybe 2 years ago, they came out with C87, another 3D set, where the curator said, okay, well, if I had continued this series, this is what it would sound like. And now C88 is coming out. And
what's the excuse for C88?
If this is continued,
what it would sound like after it would sound like this?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Hey, if I had done this in 88, this is what it would sound like.
Okay.
And they're really, truly amazing compilations. And it's still exposing me to some of these bands that are, I guess, now 30 years old, but that I had never really heard. And so I couldn't be more excited about it. And so it started me thinking, like, okay, so Cherry Red, you know, I think they're putting out some new fall stuff too. Cherry Red is one of those labels that I really like right now. And I don't think 4AD is as reliable now as they used to be, but I remember I used to follow labels pretty religiously, and now I don't as much as I used to. So I wanted to hear from you guys. Are there any labels that you guys follow that you love?
Heavenly is always a mark of quality for me.
Yep. I like Heavenly too.
Flowered Up, and then all the way up to Dubs, and a lot of the newer stuff, like that band we played last week on the show, Amber Arcades. It's on Heavenly, another good band.
Yeah, yeah, and they've still got a little bit of the Doves left. They've got Jimmy Goodwin
right.
is still on Heavenly.
Right.
Yeah, no, I like Heavenly Records.
I don't know if they're still on them, but
yeah, I think Saint Etienne might still be on Heavenly. I have to check that one out, but you may be right. I've got a couple record labels that I absolutely keep an eye on. One of them's K9 Records.
Oh yeah, K9's great.
And I know, Lenny, you have a tangential connection or something to K9, but
yeah, the guy Leo runs it. I used to knock about him long time ago in Atlanta. Good guy, putting out some good stuff.
You should tell him that you're on a podcast now. Send over some tunes.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm keeping tabs on them. They've got Beverly, Splash.
Oh yeah.
And even though I'm not a huge fan, Chairlift has a couple tunes that I like.
No,
I know they're
way
art housey for me, but they have a couple
decent.
And they're
from Boulder.
I know, and that's
fuck,
even worse. I know
them.
that's a third strike even when you only have two right there. But,
it is.
But
Chairlift.
They've also got a Depreciation Guild, and I know that you play Grooms on here. They've
absolutely.
Got Grooms and Surfer Blood as another notable.
Didn't one of the guys in Surfer Blood die though? And I don't know that they're still going. So,
but that is the record. That
yeah,
is the label, that carries them.
Yeah.
Saint Marie Records. Saint Marie.
Okay.
And they've got Miniatures, Amusement Parks on Fire.
Oh, are they still going?
Yes. And Echo Drone. They've had some stuff. I don't know if we've played them. I've probably thought about playing them a handful of times. I may have played them a long, long, long time ago. And I saw that Miniatures recently posted pictures of test pressings. So I'm hoping that they've got some stuff to come out real soon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Superior Viaduct is a label that just, they're putting out all of these fall reissues, and they're putting them out on vinyl. So I'm pretty excited about that. I guess they've got some original stuff too. I don't know. They're putting out the fall reissues, so I don't know that anything else matters. Lenny. Anyone else?
I just wish I lived in Brooklyn right now so I could go see the fall 7 nights in a row, but it's not going to happen. I think they already sold out.
Yeah, it's 7 nights in a row of the fall. So, that would be amazing. Now, this is a fairly small venue, right?
I believe so, but still, 7 nights.
Yeah, that'd be pretty good. I don't want to go any further. I don't want to pass our conversation about record labels, by the way, without talking about my friend Adam and Nick's label, Vacant Decade. And they've got a band on there called Sex Park, and we'll be playing them on a future episode as well. But they're putting out some pretty decent stuff as well. So, anyway, to continue on with the show, now that you've got your homework in front of you, go out there, find these labels, listen to what they're listen to what's good on them. And then also, if you know some labels that you think we should be listening to, please send them to our Facebook page, tweet us, you know, just let us know. Love to hear from you. So let's get into a Denver band that we love. Kurt Ottaway, the lead singer of Emerald Siam, his previous band was Overcasters, and he debuted some songs on the Danger Radio podcast, our previous incarnation. And so we have a pretty close relationship with Kurt. This is his new band, relatively new band, called Emerald Siam. This song is called Kissed.
We'll be right back. suppose she could save my life. If she could, then I think she should. Say pretty please, and I think she might. Cause if she won't, you will fall and bust and turn to dust. So I think she must. It's another busy day for the cloud bitch. So the thoughts for our heads need another stitch. Thank you.
Christian Death with Romeo's Distress. Christian Death had a lot of friends in high school who were into Christian Death. They were mostly wearing black lipstick, black eyeshadow, things like that. Lots of eyeliner. That wasn't me.
And they had friends? No, I'm just.
They did. I was one of them. So my son comes to me and he's like, "Dad, have you ever heard this band Christian Death?" And I rolled my eyes. They're still rolled back a little bit. But he plays this for me, and I realize that the Rakes ripped off their sound on their song, "The World Was a Mess, But His Hair Was Perfect." They ripped off Romeo's Distress. And I actually liked Christian Death when he played him for me. And so then I was thinking about it. Well, why did I dislike these guys? Why would I never give them a chance? Go ahead. Fire off, Jake Ryan.
I think it's because you didn't want to feel guilty about liking the Rakes.
Oh, come on.
That unless you acknowledge its humble beginnings, its very, very humble beginnings, then you can't not feel guilty about liking the Rakes tune.
You're wrong, and I'm going to deduct a point from your total score. No, what it was the album art sucks so bad for Christian Death. It's all very, it's almost metal. It's almost got that same kind of death metal feel to it, where you can't really make out the band's name. Lots of hard lines, and right, that's really not that far away from some really rednecky kind of flames and things like that. So anyway, it was just kind of like their whole image kind of sucked, and I knew their image before I ever knew their music, and I can dismiss a band pretty easily over their image. But this is a band that, you know, by doing that, by judging a book by its cover, which is going to be right about 90% of the time, especially when it comes to music. But this was one of the times that I was wrong, and so now I've missed out on all their tunes until I was later in life. So my question to you guys:
I wouldn't say you're missing it, Tyler. But
did you not enjoy it?
Eh.
All right. Well, what bands have you guys come around to that you dismissed early on, but then it took you too long to get there, and then you're like, why wasn't I listening to this the whole time?
See, I don't have bands that it took me too long to get to. Something. I would say Depeche Mode was a band, even though I saw them way back when, like, I'm totally dating myself, but when Depeche Mode first came out, you know, a lot of their early white label stuff, you know, I didn't like the super tinny synth stuff. All right. So as Depeche Mode progressed, and as they, you know, as Gore added a few guitars here and there and stuff like that, that sound for me, they evolved into something that I like, and I absolutely love Depeche
when,
Mode.
When was the, like, what was the turning point where you were like, there it is?
You know, like many people, Violator album was just incredible. And then I saw them live on their Songs of Faith and Devotion tour, and it blew me away. It's still one of the best shows I've ever seen. So I would put D-Mode in that, like, late to the party category for me, even though I was probably there, like, way back when. But I would put them in there. Stone Roses, I didn't get into Stone Roses because, I don't know, God, what, I was in middle school?
89 is when the first album came out.
I mean, I was in middle school. So I mean, I missed them, and they were gone before I, I ever even knew them.
Okay.
Right? So I was late to
the
party.
Second Coming and the first album, like, may have been released on the same day as far as you were concerned.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. So, you know, I got Stone Roses. I was just late to the party. Doesn't mean I don't absolutely love them or understand where they fit, but
God bless Patrick Brown over at Twist and Shout, by the way, because he had to deal with my teenage ass walking into the store about once a week going, so did the new Stone Roses album come out yet? Because they kept pushing back that release date.
Right. For me, it was going into Wax Trax, you know, always making that pilgrimage down to 13th and Washington.
Oh yeah.
And going into Wax Trax and sitting there. Oh, do you got any more import? You got any more Morrissey Smith imports? Like, you know, and you know, you'd pay top dollar for something that you can rip off on the internet now. A lot of wasted teenage cash there.
Speaking of top dollar imports, Smiths. The Queen is Dead single and EP is now available at Twist and Shout. We just saw those over there. The 7-inch single, which is a picture disc, about $16. The 12-inch, which includes three more songs, $15, $16. Same price for both 7-inch and 12-inch.
Worth it?
I don't know. I did not buy them.
Yeah. So, yeah. I didn't either. So we're reissue, repackage.
Lenny, yeah. What bands were you late to the game on?
Maybe War on Drugs. I'm liking them a lot right now, but didn't hear a lot of the early stuff when it came out. So I think I missed the boat on that. Now they're playing huge shows, so not really going to be able to see them in a tiny place anymore.
I'll tell you what, Joy Division. That's one for me. Like, and I realized why it was is because what I'd heard was she's lost control, right. Which I hate that track. And then Transmission, which is okay, but you have to get into their other stuff to really appreciate them. So I would say that I was in my late 20s before I actually said, this is good.
Right.
This is right.
Right. And I kind of put Stone Roses for me is kind of in that same vein. Just dating. I think it's just dating ourselves. That's all we're doing. Now, Lenny, you were talking about, you were giving me a little quiz earlier before we started recording. You were talking about bands that got to the cusp of playing arena-sized venues and then just fell off the map, like couldn't handle it.
Right, just disappeared after hitting, you know, their stride, really. I couldn't think of any, but there's got to be a bunch out there.
Well...
Rich and compelling.
We'll have to save that for another episode then. That is a great question. We should have people think and you know, write in, let us know.
I like
it. who are the cusp of stardom bands that went when you got one.
Sadly, I can tell you it wasn't Radiohead.
Ah, yeah. Yeah. There's a band that skipped Go. Right, and collected their 200.
Nah, man, they had two albums. They had two albums that they toured on that were decent pop albums. That's the thing that's so frustrating about Radiohead is that they were a decent band and they were a decent pop band. And then again, they go into a studio. They have maybe three songs. Long listeners, I apologize for the redundancies here. But right. they went into the studio with a couple songs. They didn't really have a fleshed out album. And their insurance here was like, now go home, boys. I have this taken care of. Right. I'm going to turn your three songs into a full album.
Right. And here we are dedicating even more airtime.
No, but you know what? I'm sorry. We called it because right. There was a story in the BBC about how they were doing a sound check or a tuning,
right.
A tuning at Glastonbury, right?
Right, right.
And people were dancing to the tuning. And I was like, oh, I remember on Danger Radio when we said that Tom York could put out an album of himself doing dishes and it'd be hailed as the next great art project, right?
Right, right.
And Morrissey could do the same, I think.
Nah.
I don't think so. Yeah.
Do you know
Moz is...
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Moz is on a kind of a different, I would say, on a different field. Yeah.
He's kind of like the Rolling Stones, right? Like, you go to a Morrissey show and you're like, play the hits.
Right. Well, no, play the B-sides is what we'd be saying, but anyway.
Yeah, anyway. Hooten Tennis Club's gonna end this episode of the Casual Sound. Lenny, do you have any thoughts on the Hooten Tennis Club that you threw on here?
Yeah, got a good Britpop sound for me. I like it a lot.
Well, you saw him, didn't you? Hey, now, hold on. I think I played Jasper.
I believe you did.
I love that track. It is a fabulous track, so I love the tune. You got to see him in Europe, right?
Yeah, in Hamburg, tiny place, must have been 10 people there watching them. Great show. And this one's off the new album, Lasers Linda.
All right, you can check out the full playlist, find us on Facebook, Twitter, all that stuff. Just go to thecasualsound.com. Here's Hooten Tennis Club.